Welcome to Music for Human Beings on 88.1 WMBR. I am Aurora, vocal therapist, and I'm here to guide you on a journey of sound and music, of spiritual healing. And for you to guide me as well, and those who are amongst me. Here to join in our circle today, Erno, the potions master.
Hello, Aurora. Once again, it is wonderful to be back, wandering down the aural pathways with you and our friends. I hope that I may vibrate with everyone tonight.
That sounds magnificent. Also,
transcendental, even.
To vibrate among us as well. Zoro, the numerologist.
Everyone out there, hello to the listeners. It has been some time, and I am glad to be back with you.
And how have your journeys been in this time?
The travel has not been too far as the distance goes, but I would say that metaphysically there has been quite a distance.
And to close the number of four with us today is Grandabe Inga, spiritual midwife.
Hello, Aurora. It's great to join you again in this great panel tonight. I am a spiritual midwife, and I look forward to enjoying this evening tonight with our listeners and our panel, and having a spiritual awakening.
And the sense I get of today is one of alertness, of joy, as the vigors of spring elicit unknown responses from deep within.
Yes, spring is definitely, obviously, that time of the year where we rise from the ashes, so-called, of winter. And there's a rebirth, all types. Nature, of life. It's just all around us.
Yes, especially. I think in Boston we can see this quite definitely over the past few days. In last week, I would say it is definitely become spring.
It is the beginning of a new yearly journey, that is for sure. One that could be long or short.
I think it is quite pleasant, actually, that you witness the animals around. There are some squirrels and the cat on occasion, or perhaps a bird.
Yes, they are all beginning their journey, as are we.
We're beginning the journey in not only in a new year, but in a new season and in a new life. When life comes together full circle, it's spring, and seeing these beautiful animals around Boston just enjoying life anew is a great sensation.
Yes, and indeed sometimes we must remember that even though the journey can seem long and arduous, that in fact it is not. It is but the blink of the eye, for as we all know, the sunbeam travels everywhere, and yes, it sees all positions as one. We must remember that the journey will come to the end, so we need to see the sights, so to speak, before that end comes. And sometimes you think it's so far away, but it could be so close. You just don't know.
And the sunbeam, I believe, has great significance to all of us in our various disciplines and our various specialties, as well as deep inside to our cores, where we feel the sunbeams resonate with us, delicious warmth coursing through us.
As far as these sunbeams, as wonderful as these sunbeams are, I feel that with the magnitude of these sunbeams, as spiritually and as emotionally awakening and fulfilling as it can be, I feel that one must apply sunscreen, as these sunbeams can be quite harmful at the same time, especially now as winter fades, spring arrives, and summer is not too far away.
Yes, and I think that this is true a bit on the metaphorical level as well. You may say that sunscreen is what should be applied in the sunlight, and the metaphorical sunlight is the same. It is possible to be too much in a bright space and to have too many things coming at you, and you must learn to protect yourself from the overexposure.
Yes, and as we know, overexposure of the soul is the worst type of overexposure there can be.
And the best, can it not?
Overexposure of the soul, of course. A soul that is overexposed is a soul that resonates in beauty and tranquility and can really have a long-lasting effect.
Also blurry.
I think that I disagree on this point. The resonance which you speak of is more of a throbbing for me, and as such, I disagree.
It's a throbbing for you?
Yes, the sunburn of the soul is it's a pulsing, but it is not a pleasant one.
But is the soul that does not allow itself to be exposed not doomed to stagnation?
This is true, and I do not recommend sunscreen to those who do not go outside.
Yes, but I feel that taking the risk of exposing one's soul and benefiting what an overexposed soul can be is just such a great reward that, you know, just being sunburned has very easy remedies, such as aloe vera, which is a very natural and spiritual process that can happen by just, you know, trying to get rid of your sunscreen, of your sunburn, excuse me.
A dermal potion, as we say in my field.
Yes, I do not think that it is bad to be in the sun. Of course not. It is that which gives life to all of Earth. And as such, I think that going to the sun in the metaphorical level, of course, and exposing your spirit to the energy, the life that is out there, is a good practice. It is the overexposure which I think that should be avoided.
Yes, for instance, we all know that overexposure to the sun can cause, shall we say, skin cancer. Perhaps overexposure of the soul has negative effects as well.
Yes, one must be careful in what ways they overexpose themselves. But this does not translate to not allowing yourself to go out unprotected entirely every single time. Sometimes overusing sunscreen may cause one to become slick and unappealing and smelly.
Well, I also propose this. As spirit, great as the powers and the rays of the sun can be, especially at this time of year, let's not also forget the importance of the rays and the light of the moon, which can just as effectively as the sun provide that type of exposure to the soul and to one that the sun provides as well, but at the same time in a more safe manner.
If you would like to expose yourself in a safe manner to us, our number is 617-253-8810, and we have two lines ready to hear your confessions.
Sometimes I feel as if I am exposing myself every time I'm on this show,
I think
my soul seems bared to the world.
There is definitely some truth in this this occurrence. It is very very interesting to be in such a position.
Sometimes I think the exposing of oneself is something that must be done.
And it's oftentimes when the face is not seen that the soul is most bared, for one is more free and more open with one's statements, and it is easier to go through that skin, to undermine that skin.
It's to become connected to those around you. You can only do that if you expose your inner workings, your inner spirit.
You're completely bare and in touch with everything and everyone around you.
No longer separate systems, but one entity. Of course, you must be careful who you expose yourself to. There's a time and a place, of course.
It is definitely easier, I believe, to expose oneself in a safe and healthy manner when one has exposed oneself to oneself. And that is something that I believe many of us are incapable of doing. Many of us walk through the world blindly, unknowing what we ourselves are.
Yes, I definitely agree. And part of what it is to grow and to become your own person and to see who you really are is to expose yourself to yourself more than once. So as you are changing, your life goes on, you become a different person. And it is necessary that you take note of this over time.
And yes, if you can't expose oneself to oneself, then really, who can you expose yourself fully to?
Yes, exactly the point.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I believe that many of those people who suffer from a lack of introspection are just those people who seem so obvious to those around them, whose insecurities, whose feelings are so apparent because they have failed to assuage these things.
Yes, indeed. Though they think they hide from the world, they only hide from themselves. The world sees them for who they truly are. They see their bare spiritual nakedness.
Yes, but as we've been saying, but then the flip side to that is that if we are to see these people that have been overexposed and obviously, as we discussed earlier, to not use any sunscreen, then the problem with that is that it may deter other people from exposing themselves fully, as some of these people have. But as we've been saying here, the key is knowledge and preparation.
In my short time practicing as a clinical potionologist, I came across several patients who had trouble bearing their spirit to the world. They came looking for help, something that will open up their soul to the world, something that will lower the barriers that prevent them from exposing themselves to the world. This is a problem that many people experience, is my point.
It also depends in trying to expose yourself. Where exactly are you exposing yourself? Is it in the confines of your own home? Is it at a beach? Is it at a park? Is it in solitude where no one else can see you? I believe that it's in solitude where it's the most effective. And as actually a spiritual midwife, and I've encountered people in different states in terms of coming to terms with their spirituality, it's that moment when you're alone and in touch with nature and everything around you that you can really, really bear your soul and bear who you are. And it's not until you reach that point that you can't be overexposed, per se.
See, I would say that personally, I am somewhat in accordance with this, but I might modify to an extent, which is to say that it may promote that self-recognition. It may promote that you know yourself more if you go to the nature and you relax and be alone. But on the other side of things, it is possible to learn very much about yourself simply by observing how you interact with other people. And so it is possible to derive a lot of self-learning simply by the recognition of one's own behavior as it is being engaged in.
I agree with that, and that brings the question, in terms of exposure, are we only referring to the exposure of other beings, other humans? And a very interesting point can be the exposure with pets. So many times we hear of people that have connections with their pets, and they can read their pets what they're feeling, and their pets can feel them. And I wonder if these are people that have exposed themselves spiritually to their pets and vice versa. I feel that's still an area that's still out there, and we may not have as much knowledge.
And of course, on this program, we have talked many times about how one can have an inner spiritual animal that represents their soul. And I know there are many people who would love to find out how to expose their inner animal, how to let it loose on the world. And I must play, as the Spanish say, the devil's avocado in this debate. And I don't think that solitary confinement or being alone is the best place to expose oneself. I think it must be to the world. What do you gain if you say, for instance, if you are a murderer and you've been in denial your entire life, but you say to yourself alone in your room, yes, what I did was wrong, does that change anything? No, you must expose yourself to the world for it to matter, for it to be true exposure.
I agree, but I ask this question to you. As far as coming to terms or analyzing or recognizing an animal being or an animal self that one has, that you may have within, what animal would you say that you have within then?
See, this is a very interesting reflection. I think that it makes very good sense to say that if there is a part of you which is more the human and a part which is more of an animal, then it is appropriate to go into nature to examine that part of you which is perhaps connected with the animal.
Well, let me add that the answer to this question, which animal primarily lies within you, it can vary so much with time. It can be a bird one day, and a jackal the next, and
that's
then a duck,
true.
Perhaps. Let us bring someone to join with us. Caller. Caller, are you with us?
Seems there are many of them.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Hi.
You are on the air.
What are you guys talking about today?
Exposure. Exposing one's soul to the world.
And also, I may say that the inner animal is a piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, perhaps we may start conversing upon the topic of which animal you sympathize with.
What is your inner animal?
Oh, the elephant, of course.
And why do you say that, caller?
Because the elephant more than that.
Caller, it seems you are surrounded.
I'm surrounded by people and chicken wings.
I see.
I guess I should identify with the chicken, because there's like 8 chickens had to die for my dinner tonight.
So is that also the animal that you have inside, both spiritually and literally?
Me too.
Yes. That would be definitely be the case.
But would that not mean what? That you are a cannibal at the moment?
Oh, I am definitely a cannibal. I mean, not a cannibal, but I'm definitely a carnivore.
Thank you for clearing that up. That makes a very big difference.
Yeah, no, those are definitely different. Unless I'm actually spiritually a chicken and physically eating a chicken, and that would make me a spiritual, physical carnivore. But I'm not a physical, physical carnivore.
Well, in fact, I'm beginning to believe myself that human beings and the life around them are all part of one larger organism. So, in fact, spiritually, even vegans are cannibals in the grander scheme of things.
That is an interesting take, but it is giving light, I think, to the idea that all life is one entity, and in this sense, there is no other entity to be consumed.
Well, then if we're all one entity, there's no eating at all, right?
This is my point, exactly.
It is the dilemma.
You may think
I just
that.
To call in and say hello, but I'm going to go back and eat some more chicken.
Okay. Thank you so much, caller.
Thank you.
What sauce are you adding to your chicken?
What sauce? Oh, well, I had soy garlic, and I had barbecue, and then I had spicy.
Does that assist you being more in touch with your inner, chicken?
I am in touch with all flavors of my inner chicken. Today I had Korean chicken wings for the very first time in my entire life, and they are amazing.
That is quite beautiful. Thank you for joining us.
I think everyone wants to say hello. Just a second. We're on the radio. Say hello.
Hey.
Bye, guys.
Oh, thank you, Connor.
Thank you. I would say that at this point of my life, and since we're here and we're overexposing ourselves, I would say that I probably have, in terms of an animal, it would probably be a giraffe. I try to reach higher, and I'm closer to the sky, and one of the advantages is that I can find out first when it rains, when it snows. It definitely has its advantages. But that's definitely the animal I would internally identify with at the moment.
That is interesting. I am interested in the interpretation of this in the context of the disadvantages as well. I mean, perhaps is it to say that if you are to fall, you will fall a very far distance, and that it may be difficult, that you may suffer more injuries or something like this?
I can definitely fall, have more injuries, and I can definitely, if I'm not, I feel that as a having the internal giraffe and how it manifests in my human body, I feel that, you know, if I'm not looking straight or looking out, I can bump into things and definitely identify with the obstacles that this animal has. As far as the advantages, which I mentioned before, what would you say is your?
Oh, I think it is difficult to nail down precisely, but perhaps if I must choose right now, I will say a cat.
A cat?
Yes.
Oh, that's very interesting. Would you like to explain a little bit further?
They are quite, I think, graceful and very, very much zen in the sense. So the cat is not full of worry. And that is one thing which I quite appreciate, and I aspire to this mindset.
Mm. Would you say that the solitude or loner attitude that sometimes cats can have, that they are not impacts, they're by themselves more than other domesticated animals, would you say that has something to do with your current
No, I think that this
state.
is possible. It is a good match, I think, with me to say a cat, because the cat, it is independent, and sometimes you are right to say that it is more alone than another creature. But it is an independence in some sense too. So this is one thing I appreciate about the cat as well.
And how do you feel, similar to how you asked me, so our callers can, our listeners can identify, how do you feel this is manifested in your life and in your body?
Perhaps you will say that this aspect of the loneliness and one time and friendliness at another is possible, a good match between the cat and I. And I do not wish not to be humble, but I do appreciate that cat is quite a clever animal, and I hope to be the same.
That's true. Well, thank you for that.
Perhaps one of our other hosts may contribute. We'd like to invite you, or of course, if there are any callers out there, to contribute a spirit animal.
I sometimes feel that my soul is torn between two different animals. When I'm doing work and I'm in the potion laboratory, I feel like a fish surrounded by liquids, always drinking, but with many land animals as friends. Very few people understand what it is I do, so the land animals, my friends, come, Erno, why? Why do you keep up this work? We don't understand. What is it about these potions that compels you to keep working on them and living in them? And I can never explain it to them. It's just, they are not fish. They do not know water. The other animal is a kangaroo. Sometimes I feel like my soul has a pouch, and in that pouch it carries around things that I really wish it did not. Worries and fears, and it holds on to them. And they grow in the pouch, and they become almost a separate full-sized kangaroo soul and almost take over my soul.
This is interesting, because I think there is a link between the kangaroo and the fish. I think that they are quite similar with the gills and the pouch and the like. I am no expert on the biology, but it makes sense to me.
It definitely does. I have a question for you regarding the fish.
Yes.
Do you feel that because you do have an inner fish, or you identify with it, with a fish, you know, swimming through those complex and beautiful potions that you make, do you feel that you have a deeper understanding of whales?
A whale is a strange creature indeed. He's is the transcendental creature, the mysterious being that, though it lives in water, it can breathe the air. That is biologically like a fish, but intelligent, like a man, almost. I don't believe anyone can truly understand the whale, and I believe that the goal of human intellectual endeavors is to understand the whale that is the universe. In fact, I think it's very fitting that our show starts with whale sounds, for we try to understand the universe. Let's bring another fish into the conversation, into the pool.
Caller, welcome on the air.
Hello,
caller.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I know you wrote discussing spirit animals today.
That's right. And do you feel any particular spirit animal within yourself at the moment?
I do. I sometimes feel that my spirit animal is a hedgehog named Mr. Scratches.
This is interesting. I did not know that the spirit animal may carry a name.
Yes, he also has a brother named Mr. Itches.
Do you feel like you have an inner spirit that is trying to claw its way out? Would you interpret that in this way?
Possibly scratch its way out.
Scratch or itch.
And caller, would you say that, you know, I would say that the And correct me if I'm wrong, that the personalities of Mr. Scratches and Mr. Itches are complete opposites. Would that be a fair assessment?
No, they're actually much. They're very alike. They're almost twin-like.
I remember they are brothers. This is right.
Yes, they are. Yes. They are brothers.
So and this makes sense that they are quite similar to each other. Many brothers are similar.
Now, an important distinction: are they fraternal twins, or are they identical twins, or are they just like twins? Maybe born very close to one another. It can make a big difference as to the state of your spirit.
Oh, they're identical twins. They often get confused.
Well. Interesting. And if I may ask also, are they both the hedgehog or just the one?
No, they're both hedgehogs, yes.
And it's interesting, caller, because we've all been talking here about our inner animals, and none of us have named our animals or have a name for that entity. How did these names come to you? Did they come to you spiritually? Did they come to you in a dream, in an aura? Is there some type of symbolic meaning behind these names?
It came to me in a sort of a white trance. I had actually talked to a spiritual advisor the last time I was in Mexico. I spoke with a shaman down there, and I talked with him about my hedgehogs, and I was fortunate that during a session with him that the hedgehogs had revealed their names to me.
Oh, wow.
Caller, let me just clarify. Are both of these brothers aspects of yourself, or is one of them an aspect of yourself and the other the brother of your aspect?
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure. I just know that I feel their presence all the time.
Perhaps the presence of the hedgehogs is due to your seeking spiritual counseling. If we go back to the theme of today's program, or what I assume we never really have a set theme, but exposure. It seems to be what we're talking about today. You made an effort to expose your soul to the world by going to the spiritual counseling. Like a house with its door left open, the hedgehogs crept in the middle of the night. So perhaps their presence signifies your oneness with nature, with the world around you. Perhaps they are a blessing, caller.
Perhaps.
And caller.
Except the shaman advised me to partake in what I would call almost a reverse exposure. He advised me to seal myself up and to cover myself up, and I tried to recreate this experience at home by putting on all of my clothes and hiding under blankets, and in order to recreate the trance with which I was under when I was visiting him.
Well, wouldn't you say that then that was a spiritual womb that you had created in your home?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Now, caller, this attempt, was it successful or not?
Oh, it's been successful each time that I've tried it. In fact, many other hedgehogs have revealed themselves to me.
Oh.
That is quite interesting. Your story, it is so beautiful. I think that you are quite blessed to have such a rich connection to your inner spirit.
Very inspirational.
Now, I wonder if these hedgehogs are aspects of possibility, perhaps different avenues of yourself to explore, or different avenues for your future.
That's a wonderful thought.
Well, how have these hedgehogs, these inner animals that you say that are part of you, How have these hedgehogs affected your daily life, and how have they manifested through your body and who you are?
Of course, Scholar, if you do not wish to share this sort of personal information, it is okay. It is simply an idea for a conversation.
Well, more of them have revealed their names, and such as Austin Trevor Corndog III, who is the next door neighbor of Mr. Scratches and Mr. Itches, and Buddha Boutette, who lives across from Austin Trevor Corndog III, and it's wonderful. There's about 10 or 12 hedgehogs at this point.
Now let's bring in a second voice to widen our circle. Caller 2, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the air.
Thank you. Hedgehogs in 19th century English literature have served as croquet balls. I'm wondering if the previous caller's hedgehogs have ever filled that purpose.
What was that purpose? I didn't quite hear that.
In 19th century English literature, hedgehogs have served as croquet balls. And so my question is, have yours ever filled that most worthy purpose?
No, they do like sports, though. But I'm not sure about croquet. They're more into contact sports, I think.
That is quite interesting.
I believe there is some issue. The engineers are gesturing to me that, yes, the universe seems to be folding upon itself in a strange way.
The universal hedgehog may be scratching at our door.
This may be an itch.
I see it peeking through the door.
The universal hedgehog is upon us.
Are you talking?
Indeed.
Can I ask the other caller if his inner hedgehogs have belief systems?
Caller 1, are you still with us?
Perhaps we have lost the caller. That is all right, I think. Caller 2, I may ask perhaps if there is an animal with which you associate.
Various animals, because there is an animal inside all of us. How different are we from other animals? I don't particularly think that human beings are all that separate a species in many ways.
Yes, I agree, and I think that getting in touch with which animal you are most sympathetic to is quite a good experience when it comes to exposing yourself to yourself. So, I will give you this advice, although not with particular force. I should say, perhaps you may find your spirit animal. I think it would be good experience for you.
Oh, do you have any idea what it might be, simply based on my voice coming down a telephone line?
Well, I'm based on our what we've heard here, I think it could be a very... On the animals, definitely a marsupial.
A marsupial.
A marsupial.
I'm not sure.
Perhaps the vocal therapist has some input.
I am getting more of the owl, to be honest.
I like the owl. I think the owl is a good fit.
The owl is supposed to be symbolic of wisdom, although I do not know if in reality owls have wisdom.
Yes, your voice gives the impression of knowledge of both past and future, ability to look forward and behind, just like the owl with its range of motion so great in the neck.
Exactly. Well, and yet a swiftness to catch those facts. And, you know, a very predatory sort of...
Well, caller, let's ask a very basic and elementary question. Are you nocturnal?
Only in moments of peak creativity do I become nocturnal.
And this is not a literal question. We are not asking if you are up at night and asleep during the day. If within you, spiritually, you identify with thoughts of somewhat darkness, somewhat cynical thoughts more than thoughts of light.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and the night is by far the most exciting time of the day, or the twilight, the sundown, when we are about to lose all of our natural light.
That is interesting. I think that for me, the morning time, the reverse in the dawn, is quite interesting because the light, it comes back to us. It is just these small points in the sky and then an explosion from the horizon. So, personally, I think that the dawn is more of the time I sympathize with.
It's that beautiful transition period where the sun begins to expose itself to us.
Well, and it goes with what we were talking about earlier in the show. The dawn is a new day. And kind of like we were talking earlier, that spring is among us. And it's a new time, a new season, and a new journey. A new journey.
And
a
it
new
begins. Awakening. Begins with that natural, fundamental exposure of the sun.
It all begins with one, just one dawn.
Let's perhaps bring in another voice if we can.
Perhaps there is some problem.
The voices are having trouble exposing themselves on the air today.
Yes, they seem to be.
So many difficult instances.
It's always hard to get, when there's so many voices, it's always hard to get that one voice that can really speak to you and really make
Hello?
That statement.
A caller, welcome.
Yes, I just tuned into your show halfway through it about the spirit animals. I had an interesting experience at 4 a.m. this morning. I had to
Please
spend an errand to the all-night drugstore, and my way back home, I saw a white cat cross my path, a white feral cat cross my path.
That is interesting. How did it make you feel?
Well, I know the old superstition, a black cat crossing your path is an omen of bad tidings, but I think the white cats are very rare, I've heard from people I know who own cats, and maybe a good sign.
Now, let me take this moment to observe that perhaps this prejudice against black cats is ill-founded.
Yes, I think you're right. I think that, a cat can't help what color he or she is, just born that way.
All cats are created equal.
Yeah.
And when you saw this white cat in the darkness at the night, you said it was at 4 a.m., correct?
About 4:30 a.m., 4 a.m., yeah.
Did you feel that the cat made any type of connection with you? Did you have any identification with that cat?
Oh, yes, because I was going to take a trip tomorrow out of town, and seemed to be like good omen. I also had experience with pigeons.
Oh, interesting.
Now, pigeons are gray and blackish color, most of them. Once in a while, you see a white one, like a dove. All a dove is a white pigeon, the same species, a similar species.
I feel a connection to pigeons sometimes. It seems we always choose to go to the park around the same time. I always see them there.
And in pigeons...
I've seen white pigeons across my path, too, like a dove. Dove-like bird, and I consider that a good sign.
It's interesting that you mentioned pigeons, because pigeons, although large in numbers and in population, I often feel in a way are an outcast, as people don't really embrace pigeons and just see pigeons as a nuisance and just a large obese bird that just flies and drops, has droppings. But yet we can't deny the volume in terms of the population of pigeons. So why would you say, caller, that you may identify with a pigeon?
Because they're very used to human contact. They're very domesticated birds in a way, because they used to, for centuries, they hung around places where humans habitate, and in big cities like, you know, and like Boston and other places.
That is very interesting. So do you find that you are the social creature in much the same way as a pigeon?
Sometimes I am. I live alone, so I like my privacy, but I do like people. But I wanted to see something else about spirit animals. Do you believe in astrology, like the different signs of the zodiac? Like, I'm a Pisces. I'm a fish. I was born in March. So do you believe that the people are born with the animal spirit of the astrological sign they're born under?
There are many systems under which these things may be evaluated. And I think that there is some degree of truth, but it is not always clear that the matching is completely effective. And so I think that really what you should do is reach into yourself, caller, and say to yourself, am I a fish? And this sort of exposure to your own soul is really what must answer that question.
Yes, and I very much doubt that 12 signs, 12 animals can truly describe the amount of variance found in the human soul.
And caller, because you've also mentioned that there's two or more than one animal that you internally feel. Do you feel, are you torn? Do you feel a sense of uneasiness because you're trapped between two animals, or do you embrace this?
Well, yes. The Pisces sign is two fish swimming in opposite directions. It indicates conflict, or two opposite forces pulling against each other. I definitely feel that in my personal life.
Yes,
I also have an affinity for. I love water. I love the ocean. I drink a lot of water every day. I'm very attracted to water for some reason.
So then, perhaps this fish is a good animal for you.
Yes. And also, I'm not a vegetarian, but I do eat fish on occasion. It's high in protein. And vitamin B12, and it's good for the brains. They call it fish brain food. I don't want to offend any vegetarians out there, but I know, you know, about that. But I will eat fish on occasion, and it does make me feel healthier.
I must add to this that wherever you find significance within yourself, whether it be through your sign of zodiac, through meditation and reaching out to other animals, what is important to yourself are those things that you find realistic, those things which you find significant in some way or another. They shape who you are, who you perceive yourself to be. And so the importance does lie there. No one can say for you whether the sign of your zodiac says everything or nothing about you. Only you can decide.
Yes, also, the fish, the Greek language for fish is ichthys. The early Christian symbols of the early Christians was the fish, not the cross. The cross came along later. Mm. So the astrologers will tell you that Jesus, the avatar of the saintly man, whoever he was born at the beginning of the Piscean Age in astrological terms. And that's why he fed the multitudes with fishes and loaves, and he had the apostles as fishermen, you know. Peter was a fisherman.
So, caller, would you say that a fish can represent life?
Oh, yes. Also, I think in the Christian context, a fish would represent a soul to catch your harvest.
Well, that's a very interesting answer, being that, as you know, for a good part of the beginning of this show this evening, we were talking about the renewal and how new life is among us with spring and the sun. And just towards the end of the show this evening, and, you know, bringing together the fact that you identify with a fish and it means life. It's a great culmination, and it really comes full circle, the conversation we've been having this evening.
Yes. Well, speaking of spring and, the Easter and Passover and all the other spring rites of holy days of spring, Ishtar was the Persian goddess of fertility. That's where the name Easter came from.
Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Caller, thank you so much for adding yourself to our circle.
Yes, your conversation was very fertile.
Thank you, caller. It was really enlightening.
Thank you. I'll call next week.
Thank you.
This was Music for Human Beings on 88.1 WMBR. Thanks to our hosts today and to all of those callers whom we missed. Grandepe Inga.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks also to Zora the Numerologist.
And thank you, and thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well.
And Erno.
I very much enjoyed our mutual exposure today. Thank you.
Join us again next week. We are on every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
The views and opinions presented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.